I am going to teach you a Thai word today. I was going to start with that, but I can't do it with my mic. I need you to hold it for me, Ross. Okay. So to say hello in Thai, you put your hands together like this, and you say, okay, ladies first, Sawadee ka. Okay, Sawadee ka. Okay, and the higher you put your hand up to your nose, the more respect you show. But if you're older, you can kind of relax and put them down here. But if you want to show respect to someone, you put up here. One more time, ladies. Sawadee ka. Okay, so men, it's the same except for the last word at the end, you say krup. So men, you say Sawadee krup. Okay, so this is just the Thai way of showing honor by putting your hands up like this, okay? So now you can all go to the Thai restaurant and say hello and get your Thai discount, hopefully, right? No, but anyway, all right, so just practice that. Sawadee ka or Sawadee krup, okay? Okay, we'll get, this guy is serious. He wants the discount. We're going to write, see me later, and I'll write it down for you. I've gotten around and given some of you just our little photo card to help you, remind you to pray for us and a brochure about our work, okay? So we are Ross and Shirley Mackin, and we have been serving with the International Mission Board in Thailand for 36 years, okay? Just one country. We have not moved around. We've stayed there. We have two sons who were born in Thailand. Sammy, he's now, he's going to be 32, August 24th, and Jonah is 27. And Jonah just got ordained about 3 weeks ago, so we were very proud of him. So in Thailand, we live in the city, but we primarily work in the rural areas where we do church planting, evangelism, and discipleship. And what that means, we're kind of what they call old school. We actually walk and go door to door. I mean, we'll park our car, our truck, and walk door to door, and you know, houses are open there, and pass out tracts and say, do you want to hear about Jesus? Or, you know, just start talking if they're gardening. Oh, what are you doing? And, you know, share the gospel. And some people are very open and have time, and they'll talk to you, and others don't, and we'll leave our tract there. And then if they show interest, we'll go back and follow up. And that's how we start doing our Bible study, ask them to invite their friends to come. And if once we get a group going, if people accept Christ, you know, there's our Christian group. And we primarily just do house churches. So we just start from there. I mean, sometimes it leads to another neighbor's house, you know, where we start, and sometimes it dies out. But that's in a nutshell, and Ross will tell you more, okay? So thank you.
Okay, good morning. Okay, so we're Ross and Shirley Mackin, International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention since 1986. No, that's not 1776. We're not that old, but people telling Shirley, I says, why do they keep asking us when we're going to retire? I said, oh, well, we forgot. We forgot when we're supposed to retire. Okay, so is this working? Oh, I guess it is working. Oh, I know. There we go. Okay, so we're missionaries in Thailand. Thailand is what we call Indochina. So why do they call it Indochina? If you look here is India, right here. Okay. If you look to the north, there's China. So this area in here is Indochina. It's primarily influenced by these larger countries of India and China. But what some of you may be familiar, we live in Korat, is a province of about 2.5 million. As far as land area, it's the largest province in all of Thailand. Interesting thing is there was a U.S. Air Force base there during the Vietnamese War. And now it's a Thai Air Force base, but during that time, the American military built a highway from Bangkok, okay, from Bangkok's down here up there to Korat. And so that's about a 3-hour drive, and they were flying planes into Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. Anybody, any Vietnam War veterans here? Raise your hand, please. None? Okay. You know what it is, though, right? I'm sure you know what it is. Okay, so what are the religions in Thailand? Primarily, 95% Buddhist. That's where we share the gospel with people. A lot of them say we're Buddhist. Some of them nice, some of them mean. But there's less than 1% Christian. So this is a challenge before us. As Pastor Leonard said, You're supporting us financially, praying for us. So this is a challenge that we're taking on together, and we're doing this together. And maybe next time we come, we'll be up to 1.2%. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so where we are in Korat, a favorite tourist site is the Pasat Hinpimai. So it's an ancient Khmer temple about 1,000 years old, beautiful stone work. I'm talking about 1,000 years old here. So this is evidence of the Khmer Empire of about 1,000 years ago. As you can see, look at the map here. Look at this map. This is a modern map, right? So this was the ancient Khmer Empire. This is Pimai, which I was just showing you about a second ago. So you can see Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, Myanmar, or Burma. So that ancient Khmer Empire covered all this area. And that those stone temples are evidence of that. And they're all over the place. In Thailand, they're all over the place. You can't go a district or two that you'll find another one. But of course, they're all in ruins. So this is the sanctuary of that one I just showed you in Pimai. A beautiful, beautiful artwork. And it's what they believed was that the gods lived in these temples. And I'm not just talking about in Korat. I'm talking about these kind of temples all over the world. That they believe in their sanctuaries there, the gods lived in those temples. Not the one, what's the movie one they got? Thor or something like that? Anyway, there's a variety of these different gods, and they believe they live in these sanctuaries. Well, what about the Bible? Well, the Bible has something very similar. If you remember back in Exodus, God commanded the Israelites to build a tabernacle, and the glory of God came down, and that meant that God dwelled among his people in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. And then as we came to the time of David built his capital in Jerusalem. King Solomon, after him, his son, built a magnificent temple there. And when he dedicated the temple, the glory of God came into that temple, signifying that, yes, God dwelled in the temple. And that was the focus of the people of Israel. So that's very similar to what we see in Korat, the Pimai temple, and ones all over the world. But the difference is, it's the one and only God, the creator of heaven and earth. Not God, small g, right, but the temple of God. So how does this relate to mission work? Well, let's take a look. Let's read this one together. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So you are God's temple. God's people, the church, is God's temple. So as we continue on, where has God been building his temple, and how has he been building his temple in Korat, Thailand? Or how is he building his people? How is he building his church? Well, believe it or not, Facebook. So how is God building his temple through Facebook? Well, I was searching through Facebook one day, and I just put things in there like churches in Korat, Christians in Korat, prayer, you know, words related to the Bible and Christianity. So as I'm doing this, this Facebook page comes. This man, middle-aged man, his name is Sakorn, and I was looking through his Facebook page, and he said he had a sore throat, please pray for him. I thought, well, this guy is asking for prayer, he must be a Christian. So as I read on, he said he lived in Nonthai, Korat, which is a district where we live. I said, Nonthai? I go there to evangelize all the time. I'm very familiar with that place. So I got on the Facebook, they call it what, Messenger or something like that, and I wrote to him, I said, hey, I go and share the gospel in your hometown all the time. What are you doing? What's up? And he wrote me back right away, and he says, oh, I'm working in Bangkok now. But my older brother, he's retired, he's at home, he's a Christian, go and visit him, he gave me directions and said, go to the local store and ask further directions. I said, why don't you just tell me? And so this is why when we got there, I stopped at that store he was telling me about. The proprietor said, oh, go to the canal, and there's a gravel road going there about a kilometer. So this is where I went. This is it. That's their driveway. This is their driveway right there. Don't get caught there on a rainy day. Or are you going to spend the night or maybe a few days? So this is it. This cross, the cross there, they put up later. But so we came to this homestead in the backwoods. On one side, it's the fields. On the other side, it's that canal and gravel road going in there. So as I go in there, I met Thot. Thot was Sockhorn's older brother, Christian. He had worked in Bangkok for 20 or 30 years. So he said that he became a Christian in Bangkok. He had gone to church, served the Lord for all those years. Now at age 60, he retired, is coming back home and living on his pension. But he'd been there maybe a few years and hadn't found a home church yet. I said, well, praise God. Thank God. Perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Let's start a church, or let's start a group here. So yeah, we started meeting the next week and every week. And not long after that, they started building God's temple. King Solomon would be proud of this one. Look carefully. Is this something like King Solomon's temple? Ah, bamboo. Bamboo. That looks like a cross right there. Okay, bamboo, grass. Grass, which is really nice because it's cool. It's cool if you get those, what do they call it, hot tin roofs. They're really hot. But the grass is cool. But Solomon would love the columns, concrete. So, but that for our purposes is beautiful. It's cooler than, say if we met in this house, it would be hot. So that was a nice cool, it was a nice cool place to live. And I had nothing to do with that. I didn't give them any money for it. I didn't help them put it up. They did that all on their own. So we're looking for living stones to build this temple. Sockhorn, the guy I met on Facebook, is in the foreground. What you see in the background is prospects. So Thot, the older brother, he'd been sharing the gospel, witnessing out in the village, and we had about three or four prospects who show up. These are seekers, people who are studying, learning, listening to the gospel. But as we got to repentance, that you have to repent of idolatry and worship and serve the only living God. Well, they started drifting away, drifting away. So that their idea was another God to help me with whatever their various needs are. So that first group of prospects kind of fell away. So going on to God is building his temple there. Primarily, our attenders were Thot and his siblings. So there was Thot, his brother Ton, Sockhorn. I told you about him. And there's a cousin, a woman cousin. Her name is Nong Oi. So those were our primary attenders in the beginning. Now, the interluder, you may notice, the interloper, I should say, aha. What do we see here? What are these strange robes? Okay. Now, this was not in the beginning, but after we'd met there, I don't know, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, that the older brother, Tay, his name is Tay, he was one of our most faithful attenders. Now, what do you understand this suit to be? Yeah, that's a Buddhist monk. So why is a Buddhist monk coming to our Christian meeting? He's got the praise song book there, and he's studying the Bible with us, coming almost every week. And what's going on here? So the Buddhists are taking over? Well, actually, I think it was the faithful fraternal care of Thot, the brother that I told you about, who had been a Christian in Bangkok for a long time. So Te, the Buddhist monk, he got sick. He had, I think it was a stroke. So Da is taking him to the hospital, going to the hospital every day, caring for him in the hospital. He doesn't know when to take his meds. He's got to tell him when to take his meds all the time. So he's doing some really constant care for his older brother. And I think this is what touched Te's heart, was that fruit of Christian love that Dot was showing. So it was after that he started showing up in our meetings almost every week. Who's not pictured in here, there's another, okay, this is four brothers, there's actually another brother I'm not showing here. Well, because he passed away about 6 months ago. But he had kidney failure, and he would actually stick kind of a rod. I mean, he wouldn't go to the hospital, they'd do it themselves. Stick it in there, and they got big cartons full of, kidney fluid or something. And he's got to do his own dialysis daily. But he was really struggling. He was really struggling, and this is about the same time that Dave was getting sick. So Dot, he's taking care of both of his brothers. Maybe every other day, maybe simultaneously, and this is a period of 2 or 3 months. And Dot is really working hard and caring for these brothers. Oh, here we are, faithful evangelizers. I'm going to go back here a little bit. So one day I'm going to have our meeting, our weekly meeting. I park the truck, I get out of the truck, and Sakhun, the brother with the kidney failure, he greets me. I didn't say, how are you? He greeted me like this. He says, I can't poop and I can't peep. I mean, that's his greeting. It wasn't so what dika, it wasn't, I said, I can't poop, I can't peep. I said, oh, this sounds serious. But this is, kidney failure, like I said. And we know he's been sick. So, I go and sit down in our little temple there. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to meet today. The other brother is like, we just brought you home from the hospital. Like, he didn't want to go again, you know. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to meet today. What am I going to do next? And he was over there with his brother. He walks over, he sits down. We worship the Lord, study the word for an hour and a half or so. Afterwards, get up, and off we went. Like we did every week, going out, evangelizing, following up, serving the Lord. He got up, and we were gone. I'm like, oh, what happened to the brother, you know? But so we're driving out to go serve the Lord, and Dot gets a phone call, and it was the ambulance. He had called the ambulance from when we started our meeting, and the ambulance is calling up and says, hey, we're coming to pick up your brother. Where's your house? And so he gave him directions, and off we went, and the ambulance took care of him. So as you can see, Dot, he was going out with me almost every week. He might have missed a few here and there, but almost every week. And sometimes his other siblings and Nong Oi as well were going out with us and sharing the gospel, follow up, serving the Lord. And he wouldn't let anything interrupt or distract him. His brother was sick, he called the ambulance. But he did take care of his brother. He didn't neglect his brother, but he wouldn't get distracted from worshiping the Lord, from serving the Lord. So we thank God for that faithfulness that God put in his heart. And faithfully witnessing on his own. It wasn't just that I was taking him out. He was in the village on his own. He would share testimonies how he would go out and work in the field. They're planting or weeding tapioca. Doing a lot of stuff by hand, not all by machine. And while there, his co-workers are working with him, he's sharing the gospel with them. Sometimes preaching. I didn't always like his preachy style, but at least he had the boldness to do it. And so as he was out witnessing, he went to a friend's house and with his brother and met his friend's mother. And he shared the gospel with his friend's mother. She showed a strong interest, he told me. We went back numerous times teaching a series of evangelistic lessons. And after about 5 or 6 lessons, she agreed to believe and get baptized. So thank God that we baptized her right there at her house, elderly woman in her 80s. This isn't actually her. I didn't have a picture of her, but just to illustrate the point here. But what we actually baptized her in was something like this. You see this plastic barrel? This is a different place and a different person, but this is what we baptized her. And she just had one of those in front of her house, and she had like the eaves, the rain guard there, and the rainwater is draining off there and going into this. And so that's what we baptized her in. Elderly woman, we didn't want to take her all over the place or take her down into one of those ponds. It'd be dangerous. Okay, that's where we are there. And there's other challenges there. I didn't tell you everything. But to be continued, please pray for, who do we got? Da is the main, is our main man. He's our leader there. Da, his brother Ton, his brother Sakhon. Te is the monk. So we've challenged him. Okay, you willing to give up those monk robes? No, he's not. Because he kind of makes a living off that. You go and chant at the Buddhist funerals and you get donations, right? So he doesn't want to give that up, but keep praying for him. There's also Nong Oi, a cousin. Yai Cherry is the elderly woman that I just told you about was baptized. So those are people you can pray for. So let's move on. More history. Okay, this is Grandma Mo, the heroine of Korat. That's our province. Here in Korat now, notice this woman. You like their haircut? The women have a short haircut. And what does that look like she's carrying? A sword. So who are these women who are carrying swords? Okay, and who is our heroine here? So the Laotians come down from the north, and they say that they're going to go help the Thai army in Bangkok and fight with the British. This is maybe about 200 years ago, something like that. So they pretend like they're going to go help the British in Bangkok, but about halfway down, they stop in Korat. The governor of Korat, off in another province on official business, the city is left undefended. The Laotians take it over easily, without resistance. And they take prisoners of war. They take all these people prisoners of war. They're going to take them all the way back to Vientiane, which is the capital of Laos. Okay, so as they're going back towards Laos, they're camping along the way. They come to a place called Tung Samrit in, Ampuk Pimai. That's where I showed you that temple, the first temple. That it's in that same district. So they set up camp there, and Yamo, Grandma Mo, and the other lady prisoners, they have a plan, and they have a clever way of getting victory. So what they do is they have a big party. They have a big party and pretend to be the friends of the Laotian soldiers. So they get these Laotian soldiers drunk. When they're in a drunken stupor, they're passing out. These ladies yank the swords away from the Laotian soldiers, stab them, slash them, and get the victory and liberate Korat. So it was Yamo and the women who were the primary heroines in this battle, and which now she is worshipped as a god, and people pray to her and worship her, but she's the heroine of Korat. So how about our modern day heroines? I'd like to introduce you to Sirirat and Jeng. Sirirat the mother, Jeng the daughter. Okay, that's Sirirat. This is Jeng. Now Jeng, you can see here, is a young, healthy, attractive young woman. She's a career woman. She's got a good job. She works hard. But she hardly ever shows up to church. We have meetings at their house. She doesn't show up too much. She's like always working. Now, I started out with her aunt, Bathanom. Bathanom is Jing's aunt, and we met her almost 20 years ago through passing out tracts. Her interest, her background was that her younger sister, Sirirat, she went to Bangkok to work. And when she went to Bangkok to work, she met her husband. Yaput. Is Yaput right here, her husband? So way back in the day, Yaput became a Christian, his whole family going to church. Sirat becomes a Christian, goes to church in Bangkok. So Bathanom, her older sister, goes to work in Bangkok and goes to church. But I don't think she'd become a Christian or been baptized yet. So we led her to the Lord, baptized her, and we started a church in her house. But Bathanom, she went back to work in Bangkok and was gone for years. Now, Jang, I saw the first picture you saw, she was healthy, but after a long time, her health was getting bad, and they kept saying that she was allergic to herself, which I don't really understand it, but I heard some people say something about lupus, and also she had a circulation problem in her leg, so they were doing operations on her leg down here, the lower part of her leg, to get the circulation going through her leg, but these operations were unsuccessful, and in the end, they had to amputate the lower part of her leg. So Jang's life is going downhill now. She is staying home with her mother, who has gone back to their home village. And one night, she gets up to go to the bathroom. As she's going to the bathroom, she falls down. They find her the next day, take her to the hospital, and she has a stroke. 40-year-old young woman had a stroke, and as it turns out, she's paralyzed on her left side. So her left arm, her left leg, she can't live. I think it's her right leg, which is the one one of the legs is cut off below the knee. So Sirat, now in her 60s, is at home taking care of her crippled daughter, bedridden daughter. She can't really take care of herself. Even going to the bathroom or feeding her meals, her mother is caring for her 24/7, which has worn on her as well. So there's neighbors and relatives who are walking back and forth in front of her house, in front of their fence, their gate, and they're looking at the situation and say, oh, that's bad karma. You're being punished for something, for your sins, that you have to take care of your crippled daughter like this, that your daughter is crippled like this because you did something wrong in your past life or in this life, and you're being punished for it. So what do we call that? Adding insult to injury, is that right? So what do we do? Well, we're having our meetings together, and Jing and her mother testify, and they say, no, this is not karma. This is not punishment this is not God's punishment. This is God's plan. And they say, it's helped them to get closer to God. Jing, like I said, she's always working, never had time for God. So now that she's bedridden, can't go anywhere, she just has her telephone there. She's all day long. She's listening to sermons and Bible teachings. And as her mother has opportunity, joins her. So thank God, that's those heroines that in this pain, they found God's purpose and God's plan. And they keep on meeting together. And this is what we love about the house church is well, they don't have to get in a wheelchair and go to church, as we can have church right there in their home. And you can see Jing in the background there. She's in her bed, but she's meeting together with us. And this is her sister Nan, her father Hiaput, her mother Sirat, her aunt Bathanom. The ugly guy is me. So, well, nice thing about Jing is she knows that we're going to go and have a meeting together. She'll send us a message and say, hey, what are we going to study? Send me the Bible passage, send me the questions. And so she'll actually prepare beforehand, which I don't think I've ever had anybody has done that. So we thank God for her faithfulness and truly a heroine. To be continued, please pray for Bathanom Bakao. I didn't show her, but another cousin, Hiaput, Quincy Rat Jing, and Nan. Nan is the younger sister. So if you remember their names, please continue to pray for them. So now we're going to go even back farther. They call it what? Prehistoric times? That Pasat Hin Pimai, that was about 1,000 years. This goes back 3,000 years. Just go across the road from where that memorial was, about 5 kilometers away, Ban Pasat. And as they, this is an archaeological site. They dug down and they found civilization like 3,000 years old skeletons and other things buried with those people. So we're going way, way, way back. And so I want to introduce you to the ancients here. This woman, over 100 years old. And that guy, maybe 40 years old. So this is probably about 20 years ago. And so my friend, my coworker, shared the gospel with this woman over 100 years old. And he's asking her if she wants to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, yes. So he leads her in the sinner's prayer. She prays the sinner's prayer. When she gets done, my coworker says to her, well, since you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Now, this lady, I don't remember her name. She was sitting on her knees. I mean, literally, sitting on, like kneeling down. And I don't know if it was because she was praying or what. But being on her knee, I can't even do it. But she was sitting on her knees when my coworker said, your sins are forgiven. She literally jumped from her knees. Being on her knees, she jumped up on her knees like that. So I can't do it, but maybe you can. But that was an amazing thing. And that's why I said, Isaiah 35, 6a, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Doesn't exactly fit, but it does. It does. It doesn't exactly fit, but it does. So I took you way back there. Okay, so this is Yamo's niece. Her name is Bunlua. Bunlua also has a memorial here. And so what you'll notice about Bunlua's memorial is that she's carrying a torch here. See that? Okay, so she's carrying a torch. So what she did, that as this fight, this attack was ensuing, the same one that Yamo I just told you about, she's carrying this torch, and the Laotians have like these wagons, and these wagons have explosives in them. So she runs towards these wagons, and she throws that torch among those wagons, and they explode and kill some of the Laotian soldiers, and also a signal, also sets off a signal and calling other Thai people to come and attack as well. So in the process of throwing this torch and the explosion, that Bunlua sacrificed her life. She died in that explosion as well, or one of the soldiers slashed her. This is a play that they do annually in that Pimai district. There's the wagons there. One of these is Bunlua, who has sacrificed her life. So what does this remind us of? Big Bell Mountain. So this is like, 25 years ago? So Big Bell Mountains is further north from us, and we lived there at one time. And a beautiful mountain. We had a house in town there, small town, and you just look off to the left, and this is Big Bell Mountain. Pukadung, it means what? Like a gong. Shape something like this, like those big gongs that they hit. And so a beautiful place and beautiful people that work together with the churches in that area. And of course, this reminds us of John 15, 13. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. So we see that Bunlua, she laid down her life for the people of Korat. So as we worked in Big Bell Mountain, one of the new Christians was Mananchai. Mananchai, a very nice young man. He was like a shop owner. But he had a big, big shop. I mean, this was like mini Walmart or something like that. But a lot of people come out from the villages and buy stuff, and they take it out and sell it, kind of like wholesale. But he was quite a businessman. But here you see him getting baptized. And not only that, he would go out with me weekly to share the gospel. And he would drive his own truck. So one week we went we'd go through the forest. So on the other side of that forest is a group of villagers that have a wild reputation. So that forest was like a forest preserve, and the government wanted to preserve it for the water. So this is the top of the water chain, or whatever you call it, watershed. And they wanted to protect that and keep the pure water for the people down below. But these villagers are like, they are like squatters. They want to keep taking this land, and they're struggling with the government back and forth over the years. So that's the reputation of these people, but the government was able to push them down a little bit further and give all these people some land. So so I went to that village. We're walking through the village, sharing the gospel, passing out tracts. We meet a young man who shows some interest. So the next time we go back, looking to follow up on this young man. Well, he wasn't home. So don't waste our trip. We walk down the street, sharing the gospel. We came to a three-way intersection. So as we come to this three-way intersection, that young man who was showing some interest, he comes staggering out drunk, in a drunken stupor and stagger, and he comes up and hugs me like I was his long-lost brother, and I'm like, oh man, you got stinky breath, you know? So I pushed him away. I mean, I wasn't like push him away or something like that, but I just pushed him away, so he goes away to who knows where. So I keep going, turn left, and there's a store there, and just talking to the people at that store. And a few minutes later, that guy comes back, two guys on a motorcycle. He's riding on the back of the motorcycle. He jumps off. He's carrying like a sugar cane harvester knife. Long handle, like a sickle type blade, something like that. So I see it out of the corner of my eye here. And he's coming and swinging that knife at me. So I duck. I block it with this hand and hit my hand right about here. But it was the back of the blade. It wasn't the sharp part of the blade. So thank God for that. I turn around, and first of all, I'm shocked and surprised. And secondly, I feel God's hand to me, don't fight, don't fight. So I'm just standing there. He turns the blade around so that the sharp part is facing forward. And he starts to haul back and swing again. My friend, Manachai, see with a star on it, stretches out his hand. He grabs the blade, sharp part of the blade he grabs with his hand. So I just turned around, walked away, got in the truck. Manachai, my friend, he releases the blade, turns around, gets in the truck. And a little bit later, we're shaking. And we look at Manachai's hand, a red mark, a red line on his pinky finger. I mean, it didn't even break the skin. It was just like a red line. So we thank God. We praise God for his protection, of course. And mostly I thank God for Manachai and that he was willing to give the gift of his own life. He risked his own life, his own limb for a Christian brother. So 25 years later, this was last year. Okay, so last year I talked to my wife and said, let's take a vacation to Huancan. So Manachai and his wife, Payung, they live in Huancan. I said, well, let's call him up and eat dinner with him one evening. We'll take about 3-4 days there, and we'll meet with him one evening. So my wife calls him up, and I said, okay. So when we actually go to have vacation with him, he takes over the vacation. It's like he was a tour guide who was paying us to go on the tour. He's driving us everywhere. He's taking us to all these tourist sites. He's paying for the meals or most of the meals. And he like took it over. Well, I think we gave him some money. At the end, I says, here's some money. Here, I gave him some money. He said, what's that? I said, help pay for the food. He said, okay. So thank God, 25 years later, he's still giving. I never had somebody pay me to go on vacation. I didn't ask for it, expect it, but thank God that after 25 years, still giving. And of course, that reminds us of John 15:13. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Okay, now, this is the climax. Okay, you thought you had summer vacation? Yeah? You thought you had summer vacation, Leonard? Okay, yeah, summer vacation's over, back to school time. You're going to take the Thai culture test. Okay, can you pass? Were you paying attention? Let's see. Okay. Yeah, okay, I think you were. All right, let's try this. Okay, let's see this picture. Look at this picture. Look carefully. You're going to have to ask the question. Multiple choice now. Okay. Question is, what is the main crop of Thailand? One. No. Okay. Raise your hand. Corn. Who says corn? Raise your hand, please. Nobody? Okay. Two, sugarcane. Who says sugarcane? Now, if you're paying attention, you would have caught something there. That guy was attacking me with a sugarcane knife. Okay, all right. Three, rice. Raise your hands. Oh, man. You're giving this away. Okay, last one, four, tapioca. Ooh, I got a lot of tapiocas. Okay, actually, it's rice. But I don't know, you guys check it out. I mean, I'm just going on my own. I didn't check my facts. That's just my own observation. But if you ask the Thai people, what do you eat? They'll say rice. Okay, they don't eat food, they eat rice. Okay, so many of them will grow rice even as, subsistence. In other words, they'll just grow it for their own consumption, and if they have something left over, they'll sell it. Okay, tapioca, there's a lot of tapioca. But you can check those facts. Anybody can Google that. Okay, keeping your score? You gotta keep your score, okay. Okay, look at this, look at those things. What are those things? Okay, take a good look. Okay, got it. All right, boop. Okay, what are the yellow things? One, pom-poms. Raise your hand. Oh, this isn't football season yet, right? Okay, chicks, like little chickens, baby chickens. They look like little yellow things, right? Okay, three, dish scrubbers. Dish scrubbers, you have those things, scrubbies or something? Okay. Okay, nobody raised their hand yet. Okay, last one is silkworm cocoons. Raise your hand. Oh, man, you all got that one. That was too easy. Okay, well, there's some, they'll take those threads out and they'll make them into silk threads, and then they actually weave them. They have hand weaving there as well. So if you get a piece of cloth, or say a skirt or something, like, how much was that? About $100, wasn't it? Okay, for a piece of like something like your skirt there, that'd be about $100 for that. But it's not much, right, for American people? No, that's not much. But typical clothes for Thai people would be more like $100, be more like $10. Okay, so Thai funeral, big deal. Thai funeral is a big deal. You can skip my birthday, but don't skip my funeral. If you skip my funeral, I'll be mad at you for the rest of my life. Okay. So there you see the casket, right? Casket, flowers, candle, joss sticks, picture. All right. Look carefully. What's the test? Guys are keeping score, right? Oh, where'd I go? Oh, I'm in the wrong thing. All right. At a Thai funeral, they usually won. Okay, raise your hand if you think that's it. Cremate the deceased. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 2, bury the deceased. 1, 2. Okay, 3, lower the dead body into a body of water. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, find one, cry loudly and beat their breasts. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'll let Shirley answer this one.
Cremate.
They cremate. Yeah, they cremate. So they think that the Christians are bad because they bury people. But okay, so now pay attention to these houses. And the unusual thing about these houses is the ground floor is open. Okay, so take a good look. It's open, no walls. Got your posts right. Open, open, open. Okay, this is another house. Sitting under the house, table, chairs, hammocks. Okay, it's open. No walls on the ground floor. I mean, that's not all of them, but they're, and nowadays they're going more to Western style housing and getting into air conditioning and high electric bills, stuff like that. Okay, so why do many Thai people have open ground floors? One, raise your hands, please. It looks more fashionable. No takers. Two, it's cooler in the hot weather. Ooh, I got a lot there. Wow, 20 maybe. Okay, three, it saves on building materials. I got one. That's my reason. That's my reason for it. Okay, four, it's a Buddhist teaching. Oh, I got one. One, two. Okay, and the answer is Shirley.
Cooler in the hot weather.
Cooler in the hot weather. It's a really inexpensive way of air conditioning. It's great we had a house like this in the daytime. I would stay under the house, and it's a lot cooler. So nothing is blocking your wind. So Thailand is a hot country. One girl asked me, we did one of these presentations at church. A little girl said, what are you doing in the winter? They don't really have winter.
Not,
you don't. There's various ways of doing it. You saw Jing, she had mosquito netting. But she's like laying around all day. They have these little coils that like have a give off fumes that can chase them away. I don't know what else. They have sprays. They have what do you call them? The exterminator. Sometimes the exterminator will come, but that's mainly for what do you call them? Termites. Otherwise, if you have a wooden house, they'll eat up your house, literally. Okay, I think this is the last one, I'm not sure. Okay, take a good look, take a good look. See that there? See that white thing in there? Okay, what is it? Okay, one, a birdhouse. Raise your hands, please. Okay, I got a few birdhouses. Okay, two, a decoration. No takers. Three, a spirit house. Ooh, I got about 20. Four, a hidden camera. These days you gotta have hidden cameras, man. No takers? Oh, come on. that's where I'm going to put my in camera. Okay. And the answer is Shirley. Okay, spirit house. So they believe that their grandfather or grandmother lives there and protects that piece of property there. Okay. Congratulations if you passed the test. You passed the test, and now you're qualified to be a missionary. Amen. Okay, I tricked you, right? I tricked you. I got you. Okay, you ready? You ready to go? Okay, well, it might not be that easy to qualify, but I just want you to think about that possibility. Okay, remember Neil Armstrong? He stepped on the moon. He said, this is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. So the giant leap here would be going as a foreign missionary. And well, yeah, that's a giant leap. That's a big step for a lot of us. But it's possible. It's possible. So think about it as God called you to be a foreign missionary. Is God speaking to you? Is God leading you? And you can at least look into that possibility. But for most of us, it's that small step. And there's many small steps that we can take like pray for missionaries, give to missions, watch the mission movies, read a missions book, go to a missions conference, go on a short-term missions trip, invite a missionary for a meal, do a personal mission study, participate in a mission small group, reach out to foreign students, refugees, and recent immigrants, and many other things I'm sure that we could do. And another simple, easy step that all of us can take is look at the imb.org. Here, see right here, imb.org, International Mission Board. And so if you want to pray, you can look there. If you want to give, say, Latimian Christmas offering or whatever, give there. If you want to go, if you just want to know what are the qualifications, what are the different positions or different categories of missionaries? So even if you don't go, you can at least check that out. And just look on here, a simple thing to do, and there's a lot of interesting stuff on there. And thank you all for giving to the cooperative program and to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So everything that you've seen happen here, you all are participating in that as well. And that's an important a part of what we're doing. And we couldn't do all this without you, and we're grateful for it. So please pray for us. Lizzie the lizard is praying for us. And I don't know who that couple is there. But that may have been us. Okay, so Shirley, did you give everybody the prayer stuff? We're going to give you like a prayer card and a brochure, and that'll be a reminder for you to pray for us. Okay, so there's some things that you can pray for us. One, that pray for our relationship with God, and two, pray for wisdom and patience. There's a lot of patience in sharing the gospel with many unresponsive people, a lot of patience in teaching people to obey Jesus, and three, pray for, who was that, Da Don, his family, already shared about them. And four, pray for Sirirat Jing and their family, their group of Christians there. So, yes, please pray for us. Thank you all for your attention. You all passed the test, and God bless you.
So,
be a cup.